The Diary of Jimmy Mattern, the dramatized life of this famous round-the-world solo flyer. Contact, Jimmy.
Contact.
Beginning with this program and continuing throughout the week, the first 10 prize winners in Pure Oil's $10,000 contest will be announced. Also during this week, the entire list of 260 prize winners will be posted at Pure Oil stations throughout 32 states. The many thousands of entrants in Pure Oil's contest could tell those of you who may not have had an opportunity to enter that super solvenized motor fuels and the concentrated super solvenized treatment are best for your car because they give more power, money-saving mileage, freedom from carbon troubles, and that's something no regular gasoline can do. Listen at the end of this program for the winner of the first prize. For 2 months after his flight with Bennett Griffin, Jimmy was busy attending receptions and special events held in honor of the young aviators. And then at last he found himself free to plan his solo world flight, although everyone was allowed to think that he'd tried again with Griffin. When the parts of his smashed Lockheed were on their way to New York from Russia, Jimmy started east from Texas and stopped in Chicago. Looking around for someone to help promote his flight, he met Jack Clark, who was public relations director of the Sherman Hotel. The outcome of this meeting will be told by Jimmy himself. And here he is, Jimmy Mattern, in person.
Thank you, Bob. Jack Clark was destined to be associated with me not only for the world flight, but right up to the present time. The day he decided to join me, we were in the hotel coffee shop talking it over.
I know a couple people here in town who might help finance the flight, Jimmy. Billy Mills and Harry Jameson. And I think you can almost count on them for something.
Swell. See what you can do, Jack.
Okay. And you want the publicity to all sound like a dual flight.
I want everybody to think it's a dual flight. If it once gets out, I'm going to make a solo. Every flyer in the country will be trying to beat me around. And it's going to be a long while before I can go.
Why are you in such a hurry to make the flight again, Jimmy?
Well, both Griff and I feel like the other flight was a flop, no matter what the public think about it. So I want another shot at it. And then, if I'm ever going to try it again, now's the time. I can get some of the things now while the last flight is still hot that I couldn't get later on.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to rush you, Jimmy, but it's time you left if you're going to make that plane for New York today.
I know it. Come on out the airport with me, Jack. We can talk things over on the way.
All right.
Jimmy, how are you, hey?
I'm fine, Fred. Have they brought what's left of the Lockheed back?
I don't know, Jimmy. I was just going into the hangar now to look. It didn't come yesterday.
You mean to say you just got here yourself?
Sure. Oh, I know I generally get in early, Jimmy, but today I was talking to a guy and he made me late.
Well, look here. Do you want the job rebuilding the Lockheed?
I want to work with you, sure.
Well, how much a week?
50 a week's about right, Jimmy.
What do you say I pay you 25 a week and owe you 25?
Well, it ain't the perfect arrangement. For sure, I'll do it. This door's open in here, Jimmy.
This hangar's going to be all right. Good place to work. What's in those boxes over there?
I don't know. They wasn't here yesterday.
I'll bet it's the Lockheed.
Oh, they'll send the Lockheed in big crates, Jimmy.
Yeah? Have you seen a picture of the crash, Fred?
No, I ain't seen a picture, but... Oh, my gosh.
See there? That's the ship, Fred.
And I'm to put that together? Well, it's just a pile of junk, Jimmy.
If you don't want to do it, say the word.
Well, somebody's got to, and it might as well be me. But it looks hopeless now, Jimmy. It sure does.
Well, Fred, here I am.
I'm glad you come over. Jimmy, this is Ed Thurman.
Glad to know you, Mattern.
Hello, Mr. Thurman.
This is the man I spent most of the morning talking to, Jimmy. He has an automobile agency here in town.
I understand you're planning another world flight.
We'll make it if we can rebuild this ship. Over there is what we have left of it.
Never saw anything that looked less like an airplane.
The first thing I've got to get is a fuselage.
Well, what about that motor, Mr. Mattern?
It's not badly damaged. Pratt and Whitney are going to overhaul it for me. My landing gear will be all right, and there's a lot of stuff we can use.
I want to see you make the flight, Mattern. I wonder if I couldn't be of some help to you.
In what way?
I'm a licensed pilot myself. Don't do much flying, though, but it's my hobby. I've got three or four fuselages that you might be interested in.
Sounds to me like you've had a lot of crack-ups.
No, they're not mine. When some of the boys get into a smash, I buy what's left of their planes as an investment. Helps the boys out, too.
I'll be glad to look over the fuselages, but you might as well know right now, Mr. Thurman, that I haven't money enough to buy one.
Oh, well, who cares? I'll lease it to you. I'll lease you any parts you need, too.
Good.
That's fine.
And I won't charge you anything for the use of them, either. Only, I'll keep the title to them. Where do you plan to get backing this trip, Madden?
A lot of the big companies are helping me assemble the parts, so I don't need a lot of money right now. I've got some money of my own. Between now and the 1st of April, though, I will have to scare up about 1,000.
When'll you take off?
Anytime I can get ready after that.
Well, look, if I should give you 1,000...
You mean you're willing to invest?
I'd like to help you. I'd like the privilege of being around here while you're getting ready. Fun for me. I'll loan you 1,000 if you'll sign a contract to get it back to me by April 1st.
Sounds all right to me.
Fine. I'll have my lawyer draw up the contract and bring you the money today. Glad to have met you, Madden.
Same here, and thanks a lot. How's that for a break, Fred?
Oh, I knew he was interested the way he talked to me this morning.
I don't quite understand this volunteering. Always before, I've had to hunt for finances.
Well, Jim, you made it once, and you're kind of a hero. And I guess he's the sort of a guy that wants to be pals with heroes. He'll probably get underfoot, but I guess we can stand that.
Stand it? Say, for $1,000, I'll welcome it. Come on, Fred. Let's not waste any time. Let's uncrate the remains and see how much work there is to be done before I can get this ship into the air. Yeah.
She's ready to go, Jimmy.
Okay, be right there, Fred.
How far did you say it was to San Angelo, Texas, Jimmy?
About 1,700 miles, Mr. Thurman.
And you're going to make it nonstop?
Sure. It'll be a swell test for the ship and for me, too. I've got to get into shape for the flight, you know. Down there, I'm going to punch steers and go into training just as if I was pointing for a prize fight.
That's the stuff, boy. It's no wonder you can do things. You don't go off half-cocked. Now, when do you plan to get back? Today's March 3rd.
I'll be in Chicago the end of the month. Jack Clark is down in San Angelo now waiting for me. But he's got a couple of men lined up in Chicago who may put in some money.
Well, you know, I may see you in Chicago, Jimmy. I've got to be there on business about that time. Well, where'll you be?
At the Sherman. Hope you can make it. Well, I'd better get underway. Thanks for your help, Mr. Thurman.
Forget it. I've had a picnic these last 5 months watching you and Fred get the thing built. Good luck to you on the flight.
Thanks. So long. Well, Fred, am I going to have any trouble?
I sure doubt it, Jimmy. Everything's perfect as far as I can see. Your instruments have all been checked by the companies who made them, and that motor, boy, I know that motor's 100%.
Okay, Fred. See you in a few weeks.
I'll be waiting for you, Jimmy. Goodbye.
To get him interested in something besides flying, Jack. For the last 3 years, well, I haven't even known what country Jimmy was in half the time.
Well, it's something to have a son who gets reception every time he goes any place. If I were a mother, that's the kind of a son I'd like to have.
But, Jack, you're so far away from being a mother that it's even silly to talk about it. Oh, here he comes.
Hello, Mom.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, it's good to see you again. My, but you look tired.
I am. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Jimmy. What's the matter? Something go wrong?
I'll tell you in the car. Let's get out of here.
Hello, Jimmy. Glad to be home?
Darn right I'm glad to be home. See y'all later. How you been, Mom?
Oh, just fine, Jimmy. Why don't you ever ride?
I've been so busy I couldn't see straight for weeks. Well, Jack, lined everything up?
Sure, it looks fine. Your mother fixed it.
Oh, you mean about that $1,000 you need, Jimmy? Jack and I talked to 2 or 3 men, and they said they'd raise the money. They want to raise it right here in your hometown.
Good. That's a big relief. I don't suppose Thurman would press us, but we will owe him the $1,000 before April 1st.
We're going to get it here, all right. What happened on the flight, Jim? I can tell that something went wrong.
Oh, just as I got over the Alleghenies, the hatch started to tear loose again.
The hatch? Oh, the door over your head that broke loose and spoiled your flight with Benny?
The same thing.
Oh, goodness. I should think they'd make hatches that stayed on.
I don't know why it should happen to me twice. It's a freak accident.
So you had to land somewhere, Jimmy.
I did not. You think I wanted the papers headlining, "Matter no match for hatch"? They'd make a gag out of it.
But what did you do?
I took off my belt and fastened the hatch down with it, and then I put the belt under my arm. I had to fly all the way here, harnessed up like that, to keep the blame thing from blowing off again.
Well, no wonder you look tired. That must have been awful.
Oh, well, let's forget it. Are we going out to Mr. Henderson's ranch?
Sure we are. He says he's got a bunch of yearlings that are just waiting for you to rope and brand.
Good. That'll put me in shape.
Oh, but Jimmy, I thought you were coming to visit me.
We're taking you to the ranch with us, Mom. Maybe you'd like to rope a steer.
Me? Rope a steer? Why, Jimmy, I can't even steer a rope.
Hurry up, Jack. We're eating breakfast.
Morning, Mrs. Mattern.
Good morning, Jack. We waited as long as we could for you.
I was telephoning. See the paper this morning, Jimmy?
No.
It's got that story about the steer chasing you across the state of Texas.
Has it? I'll look at it later.
Yeah, it's got another story, too.
What? Say, what's wrong now? Is somebody taken off on a world flight?
Nope, but the banks have closed.
The banks? Closed?
What do you mean, Jack?
President Roosevelt has declared a bank holiday. Every bank in the country is closed. Nobody knows what's going
to
happen.
Oh, but they've got to reopen. They can't just close and take your money.
No, but don't you see what this is going to do to us, Mrs. Mattern? It means that even when the banks reopen, businessmen are going to be afraid to take any risks. Now we're going to have an awful time raising the money for Jimmy's flight.
I don't believe it for a minute. I'll just call up those gentlemen who said they'd raise the money, and I'm sure
that's what I thought, too, Mrs. Mattern, until I called them.
You mean they've backed out?
I mean, they're just as panicky as the next one. They aren't going to put money in a flight when they don't know if they're going to have any money. We're going to have tough sailing now, Jimmy. Darn tough sailing.
And here is the name of the winner of the first prize in Pure Oil's $10,000 contest. Edward L. Pryor of York, Pennsylvania. Congratulations, Mr. Pryor. You will be officially notified by registered letter within a few days. And your name, as well as the name of the other 259 prize winners, will be posted at all Pure Oil stations.
Should I win a watch, Mr. Brownie?
Does it seem very likely that Pure Oil would give a prize to you, Ping Ping?
Well, I don't do no harms to motors, Mr. Brownie. I'm just a little noise. What lets you know my Uncle Dan Carbon is in the motor so you can conquer him?
Ah, but what you don't know is this, Ping Ping. Many motors are suffering from poor compression. That means slow starting and loss of power before your gentle Ping Ping warns the owner of the presence of carbon.
But you can't do nothing about them motors until I start ping-pinging in them, Mr. Brownie.
Oh, yes, we can ping-ping. Any motorist who feels he isn't getting the full power that was built into his engine need only drive to a Pure Oil station and ask for a free compression test.
You can't get rid of old Dirty Dan with no compression test, smart guy.
Right you are, Dirty Dan, but motorists can find out if they're getting equal compression from all the cylinders. If they're not, that means that you, Dirty Dan Carbon, are sticking on the valves and pistons.
Oh, gee, here comes that darned old concentrated super solvenized treatment.
Go to the head of the class, Ping Ping. A super solvenized treatment is guaranteed to conquer carbon immediately. Drive in where you see the Pure Seal sign and say, give my motor a compression test. There's no cost or obligation, but drive safely and be sure with Pure.